Hello, Warrior Women. This is Karen McCoy of McCoy Fitness and Health and WarriorWomanFitness.com, and I am so pleased to announce we have Cordelia McFadgen. She is owner and a holistic nutritionist at Inspired Living Nutrition, Inc. Cordelia suffered for years from unknown food sensitivities and actively worked her way back to strong health through proper nutrition. And she was inspired and determined to take her education further so she could help empower others back to great health. After earning her registered holistic nutritionist designation from the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition, she began to help others reveal their best level of health through the combination of proper nutrition, daily movement, and specific supportive lifestyle habits. Committed to the lifelong learning process, Cordelia has also earned the designation board certified in holistic nutrition from the Holistic Nutrition Credential Board. Cordelia is combining her passion of nutrition and supporting the holistic nutrition industry, and she serves as the dean to the School of Holistic Nutrition at Pacific Rim College. Apart from touting the benefits of greens and lemon water to everyone and anyone who will listen, she's also an avid outdoors woman who enjoys long hikes, canoeing, crabbing, ooh, yum, reading, dancing with friends, and tending to her garden. Welcome, Cordelia. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. I'm looking forward to talking with you today.
This is so cool. Okay, so I've known Cordelia for a while, and we met at Lifestyles. And what really got me interested in wanting to do this interview with you, Cordelia, is number one, your passion for all things food and digestion. And number two, your depth and your breadth of experience. So, in a nutshell, this whole talk is going to be around digestion, what we need to know, what we don't know, and how to fix what's going on. So, first of all, tell me your definition of good digestion.
You know, good digestion for me, it really encompasses more than just how our body feels. That's why I kind of moved into the holistic nutrition, because I'm sure you agree. It's not just about what we eat. It's not just about how we move, but it's also about how we think of ourselves and do we have that mental mastery to sort of deal with things. Because digestion, obviously, it's, you know, if you think of the organs of digestion, that's one thing. However, it's a lot more than that. So good digestion for me, you know, you'll often hear me say, like, we are not what we eat. We are what we absorb and assimilate. So yeah, it doesn't matter the quality of the food or the supplement that we're eating if we're actually neglecting to actively work on our digestive system. So a lot of people have, you know, food allergies, sensitivities, you know, and even just that first step in identifying those is a huge hurdle for a lot of people. I know when it comes to celiac diagnosis, you know, the average time, the timeline for diagnosis is anywhere from 8 to 11 years. And, you know, I think that can be, you know, similar. It's obviously dependent on each individual, but I think we suffer needlessly with eating foods that we don't fully understand that are not good for us. So good digestion, when we have good digestion, we're getting the nutrients from our food. So we have good energy. We go to bed, we stay asleep, we wake up and we feel rested. We have good bowel movements. You know, they don't smell bad. They're well formed. They're not loose. There's no undigested food in there. There's no oily appearance on the top of the toilet bowl after you go. There's a lot of stuff that goes into digestion, and I think there's a lot of things that we can do to support digestion. And it's not about making big changes. I think that we can just be mindful of small, consistent changes and just trying one or two things at a time by not, you know, overloading ourselves. I think that in society, we tend to go so extreme. It's either all in or nothing.
And we're going to talk about that. I think that's really, really key, because I see, what comes to mind first for me as a listener is two things. There's like a fork in the road. Some people have obvious digestive issues, and those people are obviously listening to this recording. People with celiac or IBS, those are obvious, because there's a pain and there's usually help that's been sought out or that kind of thing. But there's also the silent issues with digestion that have led to that point, right, that we might not recognize, which is, and I see it all the time, people not being able to, in my field of fitness, people not being able to recover from training. Their immune system gets worn down. They're always getting sick. They don't sleep well. So I think that there's the silent covert parts of digestion cues that it's going off. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And I think for me, one that I see really commonly, just, you know, professionally and both personally and in friends and family, is just that brain fog. You know, and a lot of people just accept that as a part of aging. And I think that we can accept a lot of things when it comes to health as a part of aging. However, that's not really the case. Our body is capable of so much more. So the brain fog is a big one for me. And then exactly what you touched on. I mean, up to 80% of our immune cells are located in our gut. So if you have a bad gut, then you are probably someone who's susceptible to getting colds 3, 4, 5 more times a year. It's that inability to concentrate. It's the memory recall. You can't recall what you did yesterday. You have trouble remembering words for conversations. You cannot work to that same degree. Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. You were overlapping here. Sorry.
It could be bad digestion too. So I think there's a lot of people just get used to these things. Like, I used to be able to do this and now I can't. And I used to be able to read like this and now I can't. And it's like, whoa, hold on a minute. Like, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s plus, I mean, that's, you know, yeah, things may get more difficult as we age, but they don't have to be. So I think for me, the biggest one is that brain fog. Like, that is.
Yes. I agree with that one for sure. And but at what point in the journey do people recognize something's amiss, and when do they come to you?
Usually people come to me because I sort of primarily deal with the digestive system. Mm-hmm. People come to me because they're getting sick all the time. They've got surgeries that they're not healing from, or they've got a surgery coming up and they're really worried about it.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, you know, for me, this nutrition, a lot of people come to me when they're scared. So something's either happened to them personally, a bit of a health scare, or something that's happened to someone close to them, and all of a sudden it's made them become a little bit more reflective on their level of health and what they may or may not be doing.
So are they coming to you, though, for things like fat loss and fitness, or are they coming to you with the word digestion? Do they know to put that into words, even?
Yeah. A lot of people come to me because I offer food sensitivity testing, and I also facilitate zonulin testing, which is a specific type of marker for leaky gut. So people often go, I've been to the doctor, I don't have celiac, which is great. I mean, celiac is a very serious autoimmune condition. We don't want to be diagnosed with celiac unless we have it. So they've gone the food allergy route, but they still don't feel right. And then that's good because they're trusting their gut feeling. So at that point for me during the onboarding process, it's, you know, before we start working on improving and recovering the digestive system, we have to remove what's offending it. So through a process of either food sensitivity testing, zonulin testing, and I'm a big proponent of the food elimination diet to see what's going on with foods, that's usually the first step. A lot of times the people that are coming to me have also been referred to me. They have either seen me speak and something, I'll kind of run through some, do you often experience bloating? Like, are you really gassy? Like, what's going
on here?
You're
going through the symptoms at first. That's what you do. You have a check.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what would be some of those symptoms that you're going to ask about, Cordelia? So maybe people might come to understand their bodies too.
Oh, absolutely.
Bloating and gas, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then general fatigue, weakness, difficulty losing weight, frequent illness, a lot of infections, high stress lifestyle. If you're not someone who's food prepping, if you're not cooking a lot of food at home, if you're eating out a lot of refined foods, processed foods, sugars, loose bowel movements, and then on the other side, constipation.
Right.
You know, you're craving breads, alcohol, you're having that difficulty digesting certain foods, you know, that belching and burping after meals, you know, a lot of skin complexion problems as well. If you're eating sometimes too, I'm a big fan of like rotation. I know you bring it up and I feel the same way. If you don't have a gluten allergy, you don't necessarily need to remove gluten. However, some people, you're eating it a lot, and even just that reduction is very beneficial to the digestive system. So if you're eating a diet high in a lot of, you know, breads, like refined breads and processed dairy products without the attention on the quality of that food product, then those are hard to digest. You know, and just the depressed, look at your mood swings.
Yeah.
Your inability to sleep, you know, serotonin, again, you know, majorly produced in the gut here. And serotonin is a precursor for melatonin, you know.
Right.
So if you're not sleeping well, then all of a sudden we're starting to realize that this gut-brain axis has a lot more influence on what we're feeling and how the body reacts than we've ever known before. So.
Right, right. And then, so I'm assuming, too, in this day and age, because I just did a whole seminar on this, you know, the diets through the decades. You know, I'm a product of the 60s and then the 70s and the Scarsdale and the low fat and the, do you see a lot of people with a diet mentality coming to you saying, or, because I see it a lot in fitness, you know, got to cut out dairy and wheat. And I'm saying, yeah, but if it's real dairy, that it's non-pasteurized and non-processed, if it's raw, then the enzyme to chew up lactose is there, and our wheat has been bastardized for the last 40, 50 years. It's not the real deal, and so gluten isn't the issue. Do you see people coming to you wanting a diet plan, wanting to cut out food groups, and how do you manage that?
Everybody's got the diet mentality, and it's transferred into, you know, now I identify with paleo or this, and for me, I'm like, you're. It's all just diet labeling, so...
Right.
I mean, if anything, I would identify as a flexitarian, but again, I don't even like that because I just...
Oh, I haven't heard that one. What's that one?
Yeah, flexitarian. You just eat good quality whole foods, right? So
yeah
the diet mentality, because predominantly in my practice, I'm dealing with women ages of 25 to 55 plus.
Right.
And yeah, they've got this mentality of, oh, I'm on this low fat this. And I'm like, no, we want our fats. We want our good, healthy fat sources. Like we need carbohydrates. Like carbohydrates are not the enemy. It's our preferred source of energy for our body. So let's not deny our body that. Let's just figure out what foods work best for us and what ratio. So it's everybody, they want to count something. They want to count calories. They want to count something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you are having a truly whole foods diet, rich in lean meats and greens and fruits and all of those things, I mean, you don't need to count anything because they will physically fill your stomach up and provide you with everything that you need. And that is really, really hard to get people to understand. But again, it's baby steps. It's like you identify that health goal and then it's like, let's work backwards and establish small, healthy habits that are just going to get us there over time. Time is, that's what we've got. So let's not be so hard on ourselves that, you know, the situation we've got ourselves into, maybe it's 20, 30, 40 years, however old you are, you can't put an expectation in 1 month, I'm going to be better, or 2 months. It's like, no, in 1 month you can start to create habits and you can start and look down, but be kind to yourself in the process.
Right.
Because this is where we kind of get onto that thing of, people maybe know what to do and they've got the support, but they need to do it on this greatly reduced timeline. And it's just, it's so stressful. And then you're counteracting everything you're doing because you've got that stress response, which just wipes away a lot of your efforts.
Yeah. Get me healthy now.
Yes. Now, like I've got a wedding, I've got a trip. I want to look good now. Yeah. And it's like, no. A lot of people, I know that's the thing. A lot of people come in for weight loss, which I completely understand and respect. However, when you are working towards good health and supporting all the body systems, as you know, weight loss is a byproduct of that. It doesn't have to be the main goal. And really, it shouldn't be, because you need to start to look at your health in terms of, how many times did I get sick last year? Am I falling asleep okay? Am I feeling good in the morning? Am I starting to drink more coffee? Do I need more stimulants to get me through the day? How are my moods? Am I able to work or do my responsibilities in my life and then actually have time for myself? Or am I so exhausted that it's just on the couch and in bed and do it all over again the next day? So,
and the weight loss and the healthy digestion are not just about, it's a mindset, right? And so people want to get there, but getting there is one thing, staying there is another. So we talked about this, and you and I both agree that the healthy habit thing is not a 21-day thing. Who came up with that?
I don't know. It was that study, right? It was, and they got it all wrong.
They got it all wrong. And I know it because I see girls on my fitness programs in the first 2 or 3 weeks, they're like set on fire, man. They're ready to go. And then it starts to wane around week 6, week 7, week 8, and they fall away. And that's where habits are a life skill. It's repetition. So how do you enforce and continue creating those habits for people that come to you? What's your secret? Tell me.
Yeah, I'm a big Jim Rohn fan. I like Darren Hardy. I really, for me, I'm a big I get my pen and paper out. I love apps and computers, but for me to be accountable for not only fitness, but I find for financial goals as well, mm-hmm. you need to write them down with a pen and paper. Do not use an app. Like, spend some time establishing yeah. your habits. And so for me with my clients, and also just what I do in life, regardless of whether it's health related or not, I will break down my goals into 1 year, 5 year, 10 year. So with my clients, I usually just look at 1 year, and then we'll kind of break that down into 6 months and 3 months goals. Mm-hmm. And then basically it's establishing 1 to 3 habits per month that feed towards those larger quarterly, semi-annual and annual goals. And then, for example, it's not about going from 0 to 100. So I have a lot of clients. And the other thing is that there's a disconnect, and I'm sure you see this, between people coming in, oh, I eat a lot of fiber, I drink a lot of water. Okay, that's awesome. I just, you know, I'd like to see your food and mood log. Write that down. Be honest. This is a no judgment zone, but in order for me to best help you, I need to have good quality information. And so I'll get them to do that. And then all of a sudden they'll say, oh, you know what? I always thought I was drinking 8 glasses of water. Well, was your glass of water 4 ounces or was it 6 ounces? Because we're talking about 8 ounce glasses of water here. So measure that out in a cup and then actually track that. So a lot of people are not as good as what they think they're doing. And that's okay, because that leaves room for improvement. So for example, I have a lot of clients, they think they're, oh yeah, I drink 8 glasses of water every day. Oh, no problem. Okay, track it. In actuality, they're having 2 glasses of water a day and maybe 2 or 3 glasses of coffee.
Yeah.
So then it's about, okay, for the next 2 weeks, can you, A, make sure you have a good quality organic coffee bean. Mm-hmm. Let's do that 2 days a week. Try and bring in a green tea and have 3 glasses of water. Mm-hmm. And then let's kind of increase over there. And if you were able to achieve your habit, your goal for, say, 3 glasses of water as opposed to 2 for the next 7 days, awesome. Let's repeat that another week to really build on that confidence. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to increase it to 4 glasses. And then if you're feeling good, then 5 and 6. So we're going to get there on a slower process. However, the goal is to create lifestyle change, not to create something.
And I think that's key. Like you said, it's about the habit. It's not about the glass of water necessarily. So what you're doing and what we aim to do is try to change the way you think, to look at a habit as repetitive every single day. And like mm-hmm. I say to people, you know, when I wake up, I push the refresh button every morning. And every morning I have to say, how am I going to eat today? How am I going to train today? And it becomes a habit to say, I'm going to have my healthy breakfast, because then the day carries on in a healthy way. But every day you have to wake up and assert that to yourself, right? But the more you do it, the less work it is, and the more it becomes natural to your new way of living. So what you're doing is you're creating confidence in allowing them to create healthy habits with, say, drinking more water, but that's going to transpire into being able to allow you to help them with healthy habits in other ways, and to see that making healthy habits is a choice. It's a way of thinking, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it's an organism from the inside out pretty well.
Absolutely, and it's a collaboration between me and my clients to establish what those habits are, because it's no good to anyone that comes to see me if I decide what the habits are going to be and it doesn't resonate with them. So it's really like, okay, we know what the end goal is. Here's what my recommendations are. How do those feel to you? Are these going to work? Because there's a lot of different ways to get healthy. So it's not a one-size-fits-all for every person. Yeah. That's absolutely not it. So let's have that conversation and let's just show up. If you think you didn't do well this month or you didn't do as good as what you had hoped, just show up. Let's be accountable. Let's figure out what is stopping you. And a lot of times it's yourself. You are just making excuses.
Where do you see they sabotage, Cordelia? Where is the big uh-oh moment that is repetitive?
Yeah, I mean, it's different for everyone, but it's really just, I don't know where, and especially because I deal with the women, it's, you know, they've got a million things on the go, so they can do their meals for their families, and they can get everyone else to do all their activities, and then they're not setting any time aside for themselves. So for me, it's about, you know, one of my clients, she's just recently got her husband to watch the kids for 1.5 hours or 3 nights a week, mm-hmm. and I'm like, that's amazing. I'm like, that doesn't mean you necessarily have to go to the gym all those times. I'm like, maybe one of those once a week you are spending time doing meal prep, because that's something brand new. And have fun with cooking. It's not a chore. We have such access to such great food out here. It really is a privilege to be able to, A, grow our own food, and B, have access to farmers. So let's take it small. Maybe it's just making a muffin this week, and maybe next week it's going to be some, you know, some turkey meatballs, and the week after that maybe it's going to be some chia mason seed jars. But the more you get involved and the more you can get everybody on board in your life to support you and understand that in order for me to be the best version of myself, I need to be healthy and feel good, and then I can support everyone else in my life the way that I want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that same analogy in the airplane, right? Before you help anyone else, you put your own oxygen mask on. And we forget how important that is. And that's the difficult part when we talk about health. It's like, I'm eating good. I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
But you're stressed out all the time. You're constantly down on yourself all the time.
You
you're completely unkind.
Exactly.
No.
I see a lot of people that eat only organic food, but they become so stringent and inflexible, and it's such a stress to them to eat that way that you can't build health from that energetic state. It all depends on your intention. And if your intention, because I'm big on metaphysics like you are, but if your intention is to, you know, oh, I'm afraid of getting sick, or I'm afraid of this, or I'm afraid of that, or I have to do this, or it's not going to work, that's not coming from a healthy place. And if it comes from a place of self-love and wanting to nourish and nurture yourself, then it's a different energy altogether. You talk a lot about food prep, and I like that because I do too, and it's a lot of that. Your food prep tips and your recipes on your website are great. Can you talk a little bit about the necessity for food prepping?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. The busier you are, the more things you've got going on, I mean, the more essential it is that you food prep. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing all the food prep on your own. Part of doing food prep is maybe establishing that, A, you know, it's unreasonable to think that everyone's going to want to food prep. I have clients who absolutely, like, they don't want to do it. They don't. They love to eat good food, but they don't enjoy it. So I'm not going to force them to meal prep. Like, that is counterproductive. So then it's about, okay, Save On Foods, Thrifties, awesome. They can do some delivery of some food, you know, like Jusu Barn, finding some other support from people who can maybe get you some meal plans that can actually make the food for you. Or maybe it's a family member whose food you love and they're going to make a couple meals for you every week. But having food on hand every week is key, especially snacks. I have got food everywhere I go. I've got food in my car. I've got food in my office. I've got food in my purse. I've got things everywhere. Like, I'm like a little squirrel that, you know, just keeps nuts everywhere, because I know that if I'm in a rush and I'm hungry, I need to eat. And if I can't wait, like, I will be more inclined, I know, based on my past behavior and patterns, that I will probably grab something that will not necessarily be the best choice for me. So to just get over that, you know, for the past 2 years, I just have food everywhere. And we're coming into our wonderful season now. I love bone broth. So now is the wonderful season to have soups and stews. Pinterest is a great resource if you're ever lacking inspiration or ideas.
Isn't it great? I love Pinterest because it's pretty too. I know.
It is.
Create your own boards. Yeah, it's fascinating. Pinterest.com, guys. Yeah, it is great.
Yeah. And they've got all those excellent slow cooker, like the crock pot recipes, which are great. You just set it, forget it. When you come home at night, you've got something made.
Yeah.
You can do your bone broth in that too. And then there's just, like, you know, I love bone broth. I'm a huge fan of bone broth. And then I know you love carnivore meats and more. They've got the bone broth pre-made. So if I don't have the 24 or 48 hours to let my bones stew every week, which I don't, I've identified the butchers who have good quality grass-fed local cuts of meat, who are making bone broth the same way that I would, and I'll pay for it because it's saving me time.
Yeah, for sure, and it's not that much more expensive. I mean, people talk about grass-fed's really where it's at, and those of us that are on the island are blessed, like you say, to have direct contact with the butchers, to know where our meat supply is coming from, to be able to have that conversation, and a lot of these listeners are in other parts of the country, of course, but I am always about promoting local or organic. It doesn't have to be organic, but if it's grass-fed and not fed the hormones and antibiotics, there's this huge push. You know, a lot of people are buying from Costco. But until Costco gets grass-fed or organic meat, I'm not touching it because that is adding a load. And is that not also directly deteriorating our digestion?
Oh, gosh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a big deal.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, no, there's and especially as women, too, because we already have so many hormonal issues, which unfortunately mainstream you know, doctors and stuff, really, I mean, you might hit the nail on the head and get a great doctor who can have that conversation with you. However, my experience, the vast majority of women, their hormone needs are not being met.
Absolutely.
At all, right? They're just kind of being left out on their own to deal with it, or given a one-size-fits-all kind of hormone therapy option, which, I mean, we're dealing with things that are so dialed in that you really need an expert to talk about that. But it's the meat. And the other thing that I will put on your radar, if you've never heard of it, because the other thing that we get a lot of toxic chemicals from is just things that we've been using for a long time: perfume, makeup, shampoo, conditioner,
yeah,
body care products. There's an app called Think Dirty. You can download it on your phone, and you can just audit your bathroom, to be honest.
Oh, I like that.
Pick up your shampoo and conditioner. You can scan the barcode. It'll
yeah.
give you a list, a rating, if it's a clean or dirty product. If it's a dirty product, it will list ingredient by ingredient, why it's got a bad rating. And
right.
all of these are hormone disruptors, endocrine disruptors. Mm-hmm. They're petroleum-based products. They're used in solvents. They're used in paint products. Like, and yeah, it's a small amount in your shampoo or whatever. However, we're using these things, you know, every day or every other day. So it's like this toxicity that builds up over 5, 10, 15, 20, our entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can be reaching a toxic load with our chemicals and not even be aware of it because it's happening on such a low drip schedule.
Yeah, and that's directly affecting our digestion, which we don't think about. Like, I was going to touch on prescription medication, which is big and obvious. And when
mm-hmm.
I was in Lifestyles, it was so challenging to try to get them to, you know, how to figure out how to take supplements because they had this daily regime of timed prescriptions, and those
yeah.
are going into their bodies as well. And I'm certainly not, you know, we can't go into depth about that because there obviously are some prescriptions that are necessary and part of a daily life. But we can talk about those as being, you know, they're challenged even with constipation. I see that a lot. But when we talk about everything that's out there, the plastics, the,
oh, yeah.
You know, all the different stuff that's floating around, the dry cleaning, the nail polish, the hair color. And what I used to say to people was, they're like, yeah, but it's just a little bit. And I'm like, okay, you take that little bit and put it in a glass. And over 20 years, you've got a glass full
exactly.
of chemicals. Are you going to drink it if I hand it to you?
No.
And you're going to say, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're doing essentially every day when you're saying yes to a lot of the products that you're using. So I think that awareness is really, really key. And they've also shown that when you detox and when you lose a lot of water, if they were to look at the water from your body, it's filled with chemicals.
Yes.
It's just a toxic load. So how do we – what simple tips would you say for everyday life for women's products? What would you do? Would you have them download the app and start using that and start recognizing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Download that Think Dirty app because that's going to be really, really helpful for just finding out good quality products to use. And then, yeah, stores like Lifestyle Markets, Ingredients, Vitamin Shop, Planet Organic, those typically are going to have a pre-vetting process so that their products have already kind of undergone through some sort of audit, so to speak, to ensure that they are not chemically laden. The other one that's really good is, I'm sure you know, the Dirty Dozen Clean 15, that
yeah.
environmental working group. They're really good before summer because they do a huge audit on sunscreen and let you know what are the best sunscreens to have. We're really fortunate, too, by having Elate Cosmetics based out of Victoria, which is a completely clean makeup line with, you know, mascara, lip balms, face powders, everything. They work really well. They hold on because I know sometimes with the natural products, they don't work as well,
right?
Like I've got the
shit. They have improved, though. They have improved.
They have. But sometimes you get the hairspray or the mousse or something.
Oh, my
gosh.
You got a helmet on your head.
Yeah. You're like, I can't go out like this. So, I mean, again, the thing that I always relate back to is good, better, best. You know,
right.
some products we're going to be good with, some better, and then some things
yeah.
we can be the best at. So where you have the opportunity to be the best, be the
yeah.
best. Because there's
yeah.
some things in our life that they're not the best yet, but they're good, and they're good enough.
Right.
So don't
yeah.
have that guilt. I mean, you just don't get overwhelmed and throw everything out. Like, use it and then replace it. And then find
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, no, that's really relevant. So when we're talking prescriptions or chemicals, Cordelia, tell
mm-hmm.
us exactly how it impacts. Where does it settle in the digestive system, and what's the negative?
Oh, my gosh, prescription drugs. I mean, aside from the fact that, I mean, people on prescription drugs, which I completely understand. I mean, sometimes it's a necessity. You have to. But I don't think there's enough communication talking about the nutrient depletion of drugs. And I think that that's something that really needs to be addressed because, unfortunately, a lot of the prescription drugs end up depleting our bodies of the cofactors needed to create exactly what our body needs to affect why they're on the prescription drug. So it's kind of a case of you get on the prescription drug to help, and it does help, but then the longer you're on it, it can really become a dependency because your body's sort of forgotten to or lost that ability to naturally support yourself. So if you're aware of the drug and nutrient depletion, that's great. The other thing with the drugs is a lot of people, when it comes to digestion, a lot of people think they have an overactive stomach, so they're taking a lot of Tums. The fact of the matter is a lot of people have an underperforming stomach. They don't have enough hydrochloric acid.
Right.
So if you don't have enough hydrochloric acid, you can't break down the supplements. You can't break down the pills. So then they're just going to sit in your stomach. They are just tremendously tough on your small intestine, particularly. And then they're hard on your organs that do the liver, right? Like the liver and the kidneys that have to detoxify these. A lot of our liver and kidneys are already overburdened.
Yes.
We're not, you know, eating enough bitter foods and drinking enough water and maybe doing a little, I don't want to call it a detox, but like a cleanse, maybe in the fall and the spring, just to kind of reset your system for the new foods that you're going to have. So we've got these really sluggish livers, really sluggish kidneys, and we're just loading more drugs onto the system, and we're not offsetting anything. So people aren't eating fermented foods. They're not having probiotics. They're not eating prebiotics. They've got a lot of bad bacteria, but they don't have enough good gut flora. Their microbiome is in dysbiosis, which then starts the breakdown,
mm-hmm.
which then all of a sudden you can get leaky gut. Then you can get IBS. And it's not necessarily that you have an allergy or sensitivity to food. It's just that your digestive system is in such dysbiosis that it really can't break down and process the foods. So then you get into that really scary zone of like everything that you eat causes a reaction. And it's like, again, it might not be that food. It could just be the fact that your digestive system is in such a poor state that it really doesn't have the ability to break it down for you. So,
yeah, I worked with a woman like that at Lifestyle. She couldn't eat anything, and she said, I'm allergic to everything. And I didn't know anything about it, but I said to her, I don't think so. I think your whole system is just raw and hypersensitive, and I don't know where she got with that. But it was really sad state for her. She was in a lot of turmoil over it because no matter what she ate, she couldn't nourish, and there was always pain.
Yeah.
So it became absolutely crazy.
No.
So also with the chemicals in our foods and the chemicals in our prescriptions, does it lodge in, you talk about the intestines being our immune system, which is, it's getting out there. That info is getting out there. More and more people are understanding that. But what does it do in, does it lodge in the organs and intestines? What does it do to the villi? What do we see about the bacteria?
Well, yeah, the villi, absolutely. So that's sort of in the later stage of our small intestine before we kind of enter into the large intestine or colon. If we're having a lot of drugs, basically with a celiac, your villi, they have the villi in the crypt. So it goes really high up and then it goes really deep down. And it can be the surface area of sort of 3 football fields just in that area, just for maximum absorption of all the nutrients. And over time, if we are just taking these pills, they just create that permeability, right? So that you get that leaky gut, because really our entire digestive system should be separate from our body. I mean, it's inside of us, but from our mouth down to our anus, like nothing should enter in our body unless we want it to. And if we start to have the villi and the crypts be damaged, then all of a sudden that junction, which is supposed to be airtight, starts to get loose. And all of a sudden that villi, which used to be really, just put your fingers up and move them around like seaweed. That's the villi. And then just imagine them like getting shorter and they get move, and then you're lowering down, right? They not only can process the prescription drugs that you're on, but now you're not even properly absorbing any of the nutrients from your food. And then you're getting inflammation. And then all of a sudden it's that inflammation, which is, people always say, and I agree, stress causes inflammation. Inflammation is the root of all disease. So where's the inflammation?
And people think of inflammation as the ouchie, but it's not necessarily so, right? You can get inflammation in the arteries. It's an inflamed part. Where do you sit? I got to ask you this because I came from the health food industry. I was in it for a lot of years. And coming as a fitness gal, I kind of walked into this kind of like really weird point in time in the early 2000s. Everybody had candida. Everybody was detoxing.
Yeah.
Everybody was doing the Master Cleanse, which I do not recommend to people. If you, you know, want to lose your muscle and teach your body how to gain fat, you do the Master Cleanse, which is just lemon and cayenne.
And lose your mind. I mean, geez.
And lose your mind. But where do you sit with, because detoxing and cleansing now is the mentality that people have. We go through all these different cycles. The last few years, it's all been about, oh, I got to detox, I got to cleanse, and then I'll A, lose the weight, which is wrong, and B, I'll clean myself out. So what do you see in your practice?
I do see, actually, because of the digestive system, I do see a lot of people with candidiasis. It's not as prevalent as what it was, but there's definitely people who suffer from it. So if people who have been on, again, prescription drugs for a long period of time, gone through or are going through an extremely stressful period, and people who don't have a good diet, yeah, that bacteria can really run rampant. We can do tests for that to get a gauge of what that, you know, that bacteria is and the levels that it is. But the Candida, you know, detox is, in my opinion, the most difficult one to complete.
You don't want to get rid of Candida, right? It's a natural bacteria. It's just the symptoms.
It's just the overgrowth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing
yeah.
with the Candida is that it has the ability to move anywhere throughout your body, right? So it's
right.
just those aches and pains. It's not just isolated to one thing. So if people are saying, oh, my joints or all my this, like potentially it could be Candida, especially if you're eating a lot of sugar, especially if you find yourself that you almost have a compulsion to eat carbohydrates and sugar and you cannot control yourself. I have clients who are like, I can't. It's like mm-hmm. literally like I imagine this is like what a drug addiction feels like. I'll go to the drive-in, I'll get fries and burgers, and then I'll get another burger in the car to eat while I drive home because I can't wait. Like my mouth is watering, like I have to have it. So it can be pretty intense, but yeah, to do it, I mean, yeah, you can get that overgrowth down. But like with anything, and I'm glad you bring attention to that, it's not all or nothing. We need to live in homeostasis. There's a fine balance of everything. Good gut bacteria, and we need what we call bad bacteria in our gut. It's just that we need them in the right amounts. And if we skew that and we go outside of homeostasis, that's when we start to occur issues. But it's not about eradicating all the candida or getting rid of all the bad bacteria or what we think is bad bacteria, making sure that we have that balance between the good and the bad. And, yeah, the candidiasis, I mean, it's sort of like whatever's in the news or whatever Dr. Oz is talking about, then you know you're going to start to have a lot of questions about that. And
yeah.
lately I think that the more buzzwords, for whatever reason I'm hearing up, is a lot of people are talking about thyroid now. So everyone's
yeah.
talking about thyroid and thyroid health. So,
yeah, you know why that is, though? Because the fitness industry has exploded. I always say the fitness industry is not the health industry. But, you know, every second email I get is somebody wanting to compete. And they usually do it the wrong. Oh yeah, they usually do it the wrong way, or they want to compete to get in shape. Oh my God, that's the worst reason, because you get out of shape fast. Yeah, so that's why we're seeing a lot of that, because there's a lot about metabolic adaptation and compensation from the fitness regime, which has like girls going crazy from 19 years old up to 60 years old going into shows, and the whole talk is about the fat burners and the thyroids and the adrenals, but thyroid is huge, so a lot of that is being serviced from the fitness field in all the wrong ways, because there's a lot of stuff going on. And when you downregulate, when you cut your calories so drastically, which you have to do, it's an extreme sport, but when you do it to it's so extreme, the thyroid takes a beating. So that's where a lot of that's coming from. So thyroid issues
yeah.
is a big one, and I see a lot of women, you know, on the synthetic thyroid, and honestly, I've had a few women, once I get them on a quality protein, they don't need their thyroid, and I'm certainly not suggesting that be the case. They have to work with their practitioner.
Yeah.
But the thyroid, I always say, is it's an organ, and it loves protein.
It does.
It hates sugar, and it loves protein. So again,
absolutely.
You must see a lot of the thyroid adrenal stuff coming your way these days.
Oh, absolutely, because they're kind of like they're kissing cousins, right? I mean, if you've got a lot of stress and your adrenals are low, chances are your thyroid is also low. And I think with the thyroid, too, it's kind of a disservice, because when we get the sort of typical thyroid panel done with our doctors, they're not necessarily looking at everything we need to know. Like they might look at
yeah.
TSH levels, they might look at T4, T3, but it's like, what's the reverse T3, what's the free T3, because there's so many little chinks along that road of where the deficit could be occurring that is leading to either hypo or hyperthyroidism, right?
So they're not organized.
No.
They don't get it, and all they know is managing the T3 or T4. And I see a lot of girls on thyroid meds, and I'm like, you know, I get it, but I see a lot of it, you know, a lot of women saying I'm heavy because of a weak thyroid, but then if they go on thyroid meds, why don't they go as skinny as a rail?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get that, you know? And so for me, it's always about trying to feed from the inside out. But still in our society, I can have a woman for years on my program, and she'll go to the doctor and he'll say one thing, and it's like God has given his word, and this is what she has to do. So I would assume that you see a lot of that, too, where you try to counsel somebody on, you know, a whole foods digested supported regime. And then, you know, a doctor will say you need to take this prescription. Bang, they're on it right away.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very frustrating. Very frustrating because, again, I think it's that quick fix mentality, right? It's that, oh, this is going to fix me kind of thing. I want to touch on one thing just because I want to stress. I want to stress the importance of stress. Because what I see is we talk a lot about stress, and stress has become a wastebasket. It has become a throwaway to everything. But what I do know, because you know my situation in my life with my son, it's very challenging because it's a degenerative illness that he has. Stress is only the attention that you give it and if you see it wrong. And so people will often say, I'm stressed because they're busy, because they have three kids, because they work full-time. That doesn't necessarily mean you're stressed. What it means is that you're busy, and when you're busy, it's not a negative, because there has to be healthy stress in order for us to grow our bank account, want to excel and expand our career or our business, you know, be able to take on, you know, recreational properties or whatever it happens to be. So I'm always trying to say to girls, is this something you don't want in your life, or is this something that you do? And to manage the stress, because busyness or the challenge does not necessarily equate to a negative that's going to hit your health and your digestion.
Absolutely. And the stress thing, too, I mean, it kind of, I mean, everyone feels stress, I understand that, but it can get frustrating sometimes because as adults, I mean, I'm going along on the assumption that everyone is making decisions that are good for themselves. So if you're stressed out, why? I mean, what have you taken on? And everything that you've taken on,
good point.
Remember that you can say no, right?
Yeah.
And I think the one thing for me that I have to really be aware of and thankfully I'm good at is establishing boundaries, both, you know, personally and professionally. And personally, you know, that can extend to family and friends. In fact, sometimes it's more family because, you know, sometimes people think that because it's family, we have to behave a certain way or we have to accept a certain level of treatment. And that's just the way it is. And for me, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I treat people well. I treat people with respect. And if you can't come up to that level of which I'm being used to being treated at, then we're simply not going to hang out. I'm not going to be mean to you. I'm just not going to have time for you. And that's quite all right. I don't feel guilty about that, and nor should anybody else. However, I think it needs to come back to the fact of, like, you have the control and the power over your life. So if you're constantly feeling stressed, if you're constantly feeling behind the eight ball, change something.
Right.
Because everyone's dealing with stress. We don't have to talk about it all the time. You know, it's an inability to some extent, be a responsible adult and understand that your first responsibility is to yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to love yourself first and respect yourself first, because if you don't do that, then people will.
You just have to adult up, right? I mean,
you just got to get done. Like, quit talking about it, right? Like, that's the worst thing when you're thinking about something that you have to do and you're just like putting it off. Like, don't think about it. Like, this is where Nike's got it right. Just do it.
Yeah.
Get
don't
it over
try,
with.
Do. That's what Yoda says. Don't try, do.
Exactly.
Do
or do not. There is no try. So, I mean, if it's important to you, you'll make a way to find it work. And if it's important, I think, too, to look at if you think that you want to do something and you're not, do you really want to do it? Or is this something that you feel you should do? Is this something that you feel that somebody wants you to do to make them happy?
Yeah.
Because I know for myself, I can tell big time when I want to do something because I'll wake up and do it. However, when I start to get influenced and I start just to say yes because I want to please people, that's where I can start to feel burnt out and low. And I know I was talking to you, Karen, last week. I was feeling really stressed out last week. So I had a good talk with a couple of friends who I know I can be completely open with and just get it all out. And after last week, I've got a new mantra, actively do less.
What is it?
I'm just actively doing less.
Nice.
I've always been like, I need to do 10 things at once. And I'm like, you know what? I need to pay attention to what's working in my life and give more attention to that and be completely free with what's not working and say thank you, goodbye.
Wow.
And I was really stressed out about that. But I have to say, like, last week I was feeling really low. This week I feel really great because
nice.
I'm just focusing on now what I want to and not what I think I should do. So
right, and
that
low point was a turning point for you. And so what I always say is you can go there, but don't stay there, don't live there.
No.
And that's where a lot of women do get to a low point with their health or their poor digestion or their whatever, and they're like, oh, well. But that's a habit, too, when you want to stay there, right? Because it means not necessarily wanting to take action, or we wallow in it. I just did a video the other day, like, you know, stop being a victim to your life and just move out of it. But some people have to recognize that they don't want to move out of it because there's something in it for them. And so, or it's work. You know, cleaning up your health, cleaning up your food, your digestion is work. But when you get a little bit of relief, or when you get a little bit of, you know, improvement in your business, or you get, you know, new clients or whatever, that spurs you on, right? And that's the little toe holds that people need. So I think that we need to constantly, I know you do this, and constantly in my work, I always say to people, it's not the leaps and bounds. It's the little steps, and you just link them together, right? And that's where it is about patience, I suppose, but that's also how life is lived. It's in the little moments together. So, you know, and we've got this whole thing. This brings me to one other thing I wanted to touch on before we go is this is the fall, and this is cleansing kit time. And I was in the store, and all the cleanse kits are ripping off the shelf. And, you know, I used to work, you know, at Lifestyles, and they used to say, okay, how's your eating? Oh, no, it's good. I'm just going to do this cleanse for 2 weeks, and I'll be fine. And what I always say is the body can't let go and doesn't want to let go in that way. And you can't just eat like crap or just eat mindlessly, which usually means there's crap in there, and expect a cleansing kit to fix you. But we are in this cleansing mentality, and it's hitting us again this time of year. What can you say to that?
I think it's great you bring it up, because being from Calgary myself, my friends do this every year. They'll go to Stampede, they'll have 10 days of mayhem, and they'll do a cleanse for 3 days or a week and be like, oh, it's all good. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. You don't.
I love it.
That isn't it. And yeah, some of these kits are great. However, if you really want to cleanse, just eat clean. Have your glass of lemon water in the morning. You know, have your bowl of oats or your quinoa flakes or your mason seed, you know, your chia jar. Have a nice salad with, you know, some great olive oil and some avocado and some chicken or fish. And for dinner, have some steamed, you know, sprouted brown rice or sprouted lentils with, again, a piece of salmon or a nice piece of chicken or local, you know, ground beef or something like that with lots of greens.
Oh,
that's a cleanse.
You don't need
pills. Like,
right. And Chinese medicine is about cleansing every day with good quality foods, right? And I always say, you know, that is the hard part, is maintaining it as a lifestyle. The easy part is let's do a kit and be done with it, and then I'll let it slide throughout the year. So give us some top tips that we can do every day, Cordelia.
Well, I mean, I just said it, but I start every day with 2 glasses of water, and I'll just put half a juice of I'll use one lemon, and I'll put half a lemon juice in each one. For me, that is great. It stimulates the liver, stimulates the kidney. It's really alkalizing. So if you're someone who tends to maybe have, you know, notice quite a bit more acidity, then that's going to help bring that down. The other thing for me that's important that I've noticed is I like to eat within an hour of rising. So I need to kind of give my body that food right away. I've got alarms set on my phone. I'm pretty much in the habit of it anymore, so I don't use them, but I drink my water every day. And I use not just plain water, but I've got these Noon electrolyte tabs I'm trying out right now, and then I've also got I'm a big fan of chlorophyll, so I'll have chlorophyll in my water, which is just a great way to get some more greens in. It's, again, you know, more alkaline, and it's just a great internal deodorant. And then, like, the natural Gatorade, I'll have that for water, which is just a pinch of high-quality salt, sea salt, a little bit of sweetener if you want. I use my Manuka honey with just lots of lemon, lime, and orange slices. And then again, the thing for me too is the meal prep. So right now I just meal prep my lunches, which is some sprouted brown rice, chicken breast, and lots of zucchini. And then in the evening, make sure you're eating. And the other thing is too, is, I mean, if you've got blood sugar imbalance, definitely want to eat every 2 or 3 hours. However, really our digestive system needs time really to function. So for me, I do well with 3 meals a day in a span of 8 hours and not eating, you know, definitely after 7 or 8 o'clock at night, because I know that if I eat after that time, it has nothing to do with hunger. It has everything to do with just idle snacking or boredom. So, and then the other big thing I'm important every day is move every day, whether that's lifting weights or go for a walk, but do something every day that brings you joy. Because if you can't do something every day that brings you joy, why not?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And all my girls listening are going, yeah, but weights don't bring me joy. I'm so sore.
Yeah.
Just as they started on the journey, they'll learn to love it for sure. I like what you say about, because I'm a big fan of that too, of because in my industry, it can go crazy. Sometimes more is better. Eat 6, 8, 10 times a day, and I don't buy into that at all.
No.
I stop eating at around 6:37 at night, and I usually don't have breakfast till around 9. So that's 14 hours, and I'm good with that. But when
it's
I wake
to
up,
feel
like,
hungry, right? Like, I think, I'm hungry, I got to eat right away. And it's like, no, it's like, it's okay.
And it's an honest hunger. So when I have women waking up saying, I don't want to eat first thing, well, what did you snack on the night before?
Yeah.
You know, like, what? Like, if you do stop eating and you allow your body that rest, because at nighttime, too, is, I know you know this, is when everything detoxes, your body detoxes, right? It likes to go through all the organs according to the clock. And if you've thrown a bunch of crap in there or you're late night eating, the body always has to try to digest first, and it won't get to the business of cleaning.
And you won't sleep properly. Like,
and
you're not
sleep
sleeping.
Properly. Yeah. No. And when you wake up, it's like, well, no, I'm busy, or I'm not really going to eat because I'm not that hungry. It's because you haven't allowed your body to work with the circadian rhythms of the days and the seasons. And it just, you know, people seem to think that our bodies are smarter than anything else. And it's still a flesh and blood, you know, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen blend of what's out there. And when the sun goes down, so too does our metabolism, so too should our appetite in a healthy functioning body, right? Is that not part of digestion, is eating with the sun? A lot of cultures eat the biggest meal between 10 and 2 when the digestive enzymes are highest.
Why are we eating?
My biggest meal. Yeah.
Yeah, we're eating because of energy, right? We're eating because we've done something. So on days where I'm not doing anything, and maybe it's just a, you know, Netflix and chill day, I don't need to eat that much because I'm not doing anything, right? And if you're eating all the time and you have a sluggish digestive system, you are going to be fatigued because it takes a lot of energy to break down the food that we're eating. And if we have any dysbiosis or anything, I mean, it's going to be that much more. So why would you be eating more often than just making that? Again, unless you have some blood sugar considerations, then that's important to get in line. But, and that's where it's like, you know, look at the probiotics, the prebiotics, look at the enzymes, chew your food properly.
Chew
you should be chewing
food.
Your food like 30 to 40 bites, like everything, no matter what it comes into your mouth, whether it's a steak or a potato, should be going down your throat like applesauce. It should be very, very well chewed. We don't need a Vitamix. We have our own Vitamix. We're just not using it because we're rushed all the time. And digestion starts with the brain, right?
Yeah.
Starts with our eyes. It starts with our nose. When we smell our food, then we start to get those enzymes in our mouth. So it's not just, I understand it. I do it too. I'll kind of eat in a rush, but whenever possible, I have to make sure I'm sitting down and I'm smelling my food and I'm chewing my food. Otherwise, what am I doing that I'm so busy that I can't eat my meal properly?
What's more important than that, right?
So,
and you can still sit down. Like, for a lot of us, we're out and about, but I remember one time I was outside Thrifty's and I grabbed a bunch of food and I'm sitting in my car and I have my Tupperware. I'm a Tupperware queen like you. I pack
them
out.
Totally.
But I'm sitting there eating and I look around and in 3 other cars, there's women sitting and eating as well. And I remember thinking, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Well, it's a good thing because we're bringing
it's
our food.
Thing.
But even within a vehicle, you can have mindful eating. I turn on my music.
I actually
put my glasses on because I don't want people to see me. I put down the shades or whatever, and I'm eating away. So it is all about the intention when you're eating, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then the other thing, too, I mean, again, like it's one of my favorite topics, being a nutritionist, is look at your bowel movements.
Yeah.
Honestly, become familiar with your bowel movements. How regular are they? Are they coming out easily? Is there a big smell? Does it smell rancid? Is there undigested food in there?
Yeah,
you're going to find so much out about yourself just by doing that. There's for people that are really into the bowel movement, something that I use with my intake forms is the Bristol stool chart. Look at the Bristol stool chart.
I think you said that, Jimmy, didn't you?
Yeah, just Google it. It's, you know, some scientist just was like, okay, here's what we need for a good stool. And here's there's seven different types and have a look at it. And it'll tell you, yeah, this isn't bad. Or, oh, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
Need some attention, right? Because ideally, when we go to the bathroom for a bowel movement, we should feel the urgency. Oh, I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
We go to the bathroom. We sit down. We do our elimination. Not really a smell. No pressing. No urgency. We're not pushing, which again, you know, ladies, don't push all the time. We need to really be aware of our pelvic floor and just that, you know, we don't want to put any more strain on that. And then it should be coming out. It should be easily wiped. No problem. If that's not happening, hey, that's okay. You know what you need to get to. And understand that stress, fiber, water, everything is going to influence that. So,
and again, if you're eating close to the earth and you're eating whole foods, you don't have to manage it with fiber pills or with this or that, right? I mean, it just is. And I think everybody needs to understand, because I used to do talks on constipation with my youth group, and it used to make them squirm. And I really liked making them squirm. It was really good. But I would say to them, you know, how much are you supposed to go every day? And there'd be a range of answers. And the majority of people would say 3 times a day. And I say to them, okay, I'm telling you, though, when I have a dinner party or when I have a seminar, people aren't lined up at the door after. So people think that, like they're not lined up after eating. People think that, but very few people go 3 times a day. I never go 3 times a day. But what I say to people, and maybe I'm just asking this to make sure I'm on par, I go once a day, every day, and it's go big or go home. Right?
And I'm the same way. I'm a once a day. Like for me, it's in the morning and –
yeah.
You know, like it's, I have to be really aware of it, because if I have a bad bowel movement, I'm like, what's going on? What's happening?
Yeah.
Like I start looking at everything, but it's the habit for me. I check in. Oh, good bowel movement. Awesome. My guts are happy. I'm happy. So let's just go on with it.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Thank you for
nourishing
us with all of this. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. Where can
Thank
we find
you.
Out more about you? Got a lot of stuff. I know you got Twitter, you got Facebook, you've got your website.
I
Let us
do.
Know.
Yeah. If you visit my website, you can go to inspiredlivingnutrition.com. And actually, if you sign up on that website and just agree, I don't have a newsletter, but I just keep emails on hand for when I have upcoming events. You'll get my little 3-day gutsy sort of, I call it a detox, but it's not a detox. It's really just sort of the cleanse we were talking about, just to focus on whole foods, what to eat and what not to eat. I'm on Instagram, and you can find me at inspired_living_nutrition. And then Twitter, you can find me at reveal_the_best. And then good old Facebook, just Inspired Living Nutrition.
Inspired Living Nutrition. And she has awesome pics and awesome food prep digestion tips, guys. You should check it out. It really is awesome. And this is the way we need to talk. We need to talk about all of this stuff and bring it to the surface so that we can heal it in more ways than one, right?
Absolutely. And the other thing is, too, is which I'm sure you know, Karen, is that, you know, we're all talking about things. We're all maybe worried about things, but we're all worried about the things. So let's have the discussion and let's share tips and knowledge and what's worked for me and what's worked for you, because it's the community that we live in is a great resource for us, because that is where the influence lies. So if you're feeling good, that's great. People are going to ask questions. So share what's worked for you and just share your story, because we're all in this together and we're all going to learn from each other. So
don't
be afraid to come forward.
Sure.
No way. Nor should we be. That's not, That shouldn't be the goal.
In community, for sure. Hang on the line, Cordelia. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. We will be doing more stuff with Cordelia in the future for my members, and we'll keep you posted about that. And for the rest of you, please check out her resources. It's an amazing place to be, and let's all digest well and pay attention and live well. All right, you guys, take care. Thanks for listening. Ciao.